Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Luke, the force is strong with you.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Just a second, let me figure out what this thing is here. Oh, it's a microphone. That's what it is. We are live. Hello, everybody. Just backing in here from the weekend. I did that on purpose here. Welcome back, everybody, after a little bit of a hiatus. This is a live version of Dueling Tangents here on a Tuesday, right after Memorial Day. You're listening to us live in two areas in the southern swath of Wisconsin. Over in Madison, you're listening to Luke on 1580 AM. That's WTTN, as well as 92.7 FM. You're listening to me in Waukesha on 540 AM. That's WAUK, as well as 101 FM.
And the fun fact is, Brian, everybody's listening to us on both of those stations.
Yeah,
so you don't just get one or the other, but that's where we're holding down the fort.
There's a certain point around Stephen's point where you may want to switch over going either way.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
Just throwing it out there. Maybe. Just recommend. But unless you're on the Devil Radio app, then it doesn't matter. Then you can choose your stream and you can just keep listening continuously throughout your entire workday, wherever you are.
You can find that Devil Radio app wherever fine apps are found.
Yeah, Brian, and you and I were dusting off the cobwebs, you know, taking a crack at this old show thing that we you know do here at 2 p.m. It's been a few days since we've been on the airwaves, but if you want to join us on this program, we're taking your phone calls all hour long, 844-967-2789. And how was your Memorial Day weekend, Brian?
I survived. I cannot believe I am back at work.
You almost describe it like it's a war zone or something, Brian.
This weekend, my sister decided to come into town. She's awesome, and she has two toddlers. two toddlers. And I don't know if you're aware of toddlers, but they are indeed terrorists. They are terrorists. They are out seeking your doom. That is it. That's it. I know it.
I'm aware.
Dogs know it.
Everybody knows it.
Yeah. So that happened. And they're lovely. They're wonderful kids. I love them. They're my niece and nephew, and they are fantastic. But they're also, like I said, toddlers, and therefore terrorists. So reasoning with them is out of the question. Now, on top of that, which is normally fine, totally great. But then on top of that, over the weekend, Darby also had her slumber party with, like, eight girls.
Bless your soul.
10 years old.
Bless your soul. 8 10-year-olds all at your house.
Now, it was really cool because they all kind of worked out. And the dynamic was really interesting because we got them all shirts for the slumber party, you know, to sleep in and type of thing. Then there was one girl who didn't go to the same school as everybody else. So naturally, that's going to be a little bit of a problem because, you know, you got someone who you
a little bit really, more of an outcast, like not as aware of everybody else.
Yeah, but you only know the person that the party is for. So you have a direct tie. So there's also all those dynamics and stuff. But it was really interesting how different people reacted to that and how they came together. And it was really actually once they got the shirts on, everybody was like, whoop, came together as one.
There you go.
It was really cool. I also had a Slack lineup that was insane, right about near my like almost chest level. Slack line for all these girls to go on over and over and over again. But I made sure I had some real nice rules and regulations that were followed very well. It was pretty cool. But it was insanity having, you know, kids sleep over and then also
toddlers
there.
Around.
And, you know, but I basically used yesterday to sleep.
There you go.
Just stare off into a wall. I sat at my patio and just stared off at the sun.
There you go. We love that patio season here on Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. And I'm glad to hear it, man, that you got some little R&R yesterday then on the holiday.
Yeah.
It was a nice weekend. It was a little hot for my taste, but, you know, can't complain because it's not snowing outside. So,
well, you can find ways to complain.
I'm sure
I got an email yesterday from Brian Style, and he was complaining.
Oh, here we go. Let's bring it into the headlines for the day, Brian.
You get the Memorial Day celebration and everybody, mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, for some reason we've let the Republicans claim the flag and freedom for themselves, because only they can talk about how freedom in the flag is freedomly flag.
They've co-opted patriotism.
They've co-opted patriotism. So, of course, you know, I get the... I like most people, I do. Brian Stile is my my rep, and
yeah, he's your congressman. He represents you in the U.S. House of Representatives. Yep. So naturally, it's
I wouldn't say he does, but that technically he does.
Technically, he does. Yes. Yeah.
So he, you know, he has a little thing here about, you know, on May 30th, 1868, a nation made a promise that we would honor our fallen heroes each year on Memorial Day. Today, our country comes together, blah, bitty, blue, bitty, blah. We love our people, thoughts and prayers. We really don't care. All these people died in wars, and we're not going to start. We're not going to. He even referred from battles of Lexington and Concord to the most recent conflicts. Europe, Americans have paid the ultimate sacrifice in defense of our country. And, yeah, okay, yeah, we all know that. We all know the thing. It sucks that people died for this country, especially since, you know, half of the last couple of wars didn't really need to be fought or really didn't need to be get involved in, but that's beside the point.
Or we were lied into, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Okay. You know, but leaving that aside.
Again, that doesn't necessarily mean that their sacrifice means nothing, and my point is that I would like to not have that sacrifice.
Yes.
If we don't have to.
Oh,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? That type of thing. And I want to separate my criticism of this guy from the soldiers who are just doing their duty.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
There's also gray area there, but we don't have all the time in the world.
I say, there's only an hour here.
We do have to limit our tangents here.
So what did the representative have in his email?
And normally I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm skimming through here, and yes, he has it. So, okay, as you may have seen, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel published a report on the quality of care at Wisconsin's veterans' home at Union Grove. Okay, Memorial Day is a good time to speak about the veterans that need to be taken care of. All right, this is a subject that this makes sense. The lack of care and abuse veterans have suffered at the Union Grove facility is abhorrent and unacceptable. Okay. I will continue
I think we can agree upon that as well.
I will continue my work at the federal level to ensure our veterans receive the care they deserve. I would like to see what that actually is.
Yeah. What is the representative working on? I would love to see some receipts on and how he is working to ensure that.
No, he's just citing a report published at the Journal Sentinel.
Gotcha.
So
something his office didn't find, just something he was notified about.
Yes.
Reading in the paper.
Yes. The investigative report published by the Journal Sentinel makes my stomach churn. And here's where he loses me. It's hard to wrap my head around the fact that this wasn't a 5-alarm fire for the Evers administration that runs the facility.
Did he contact the Evers administration? Did he ask? Did he say, hey, is this something you're working on? Is this on your radar? How can I help as a representative of the state for this area the home resides in? Can I do something to help and get more federal resources there?
No, none of that. He's released a statement, and he linked to the Journal Sentinel article.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And he calls for another investigation.
Oh, okay.
That's
gotcha.
Important.
So no solutions, just looking more into it.
Now, here's a fun thing. I looked into his vote on the most recent one of the most recent bills to help veterans get the care they need.
Gotcha. And obviously he would have voted in favor of getting more care to veterans after
he did not.
You know,
he did not. This is the bill that John Stewart introduced. The one that John Stewart was talking about on his podcast and on his show, The Problem with John Stewart, and mm-hmm. he's been fighting for a while. It's veterans exposed to burn pits.
Yes, and so
and
John
getting
Stewart's
them the
done
care.
A lot of work mm-hmm. around veterans receiving care, especially after 9/11. John Stewart, resident of the New Jersey, New York City area, he vowed when everybody said, never forget the attack at 9/11, he meant it, and he went to bat every single time to make sure that Congress was reauthorizing care for the first responders on 9/11, and he's done a ton of work expanding that same approach to veteran care as a whole. And his special or not his reporting done on the burn pits is excellent, and I encourage anybody mm-hmm. to go check it out. And so yeah, he brought a bill before Congress.
If you actually care about veterans and want to hear their actual stories and not just sending thoughts and prayers, I would recommend looking at it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian Stile, who wants to send thoughts and prayers, voted no on this bill. And why do the Republicans say no? Because they were worried that veterans that may not have been exposed to burn pits might get care as well.
So accidentally covering too many people that served, too many veterans would be covered,
yes.
and that was their reason
yes.
For for not voting.
They can't spend the money to take care of the veterans after they come back from spending all the money with a freaking blank check to go and put them there.
Yeah. So, well, that's pretty interesting follow-up there, Brian. I appreciate you doing your homework there and looking into that vote from the representative style, because I think that's important, because that's not going to be found in an email blast that he's sending out to people that subscribe to his emails.
He had a shot to go and stand up and fight for the veterans, or at least go and show that he actually gave a crap about them, or even, you know, release something about, hey, we need to do these, this bill is horrible, but here's a new bill that's more streamlined. Nothing.
Or
just
here's my idea to make sure that, you know, we get the proper care for everybody. And even though they're not necessarily like victims of burn pits, maybe we could do this to help those people so that we don't actually accidentally cover them with this project. And so I think that's really telling that, you know, no solutions, just going to complain and put out press releases.
You know what else is really telling? I called his office today. I called his Janesville office direct number. I called Washington. I called the Washington direct number.
There you go.
And
did you get a voicemail? Or did you
no,
get an actual...
I got a person. And the
you got
person,
a human.
You know what the telling thing is about that person? They answered like, hi, Brian Stiles office. Yeah, I'll take some notes for you. Okay. Yeah. What an enthusiastic work environment that must be. Wow. I felt bad even talking. Like, I didn't even raise my voice. From like, look, I'm very disappointed in the guy. Because here's the thing. The guy now only has a 1% margin. And he's using Memorial Day to go and throw partisan BS against Tony Evers, which, by the way, you all know full well that the United States, or the Wisconsin legislature, has called their session for the year. So if they wanted to do anything on Union Grove, they'd have to call a special session. And Evers would have to call that special session. Also, they've gaveled in and gaveled out on everything Evers has done. On top of that, they would never give Evers a win on anything, especially it has to do with veterans. Remember, the Republicans have co-opted all patriotism, right?
Yeah, they've pretty much said, well, we're the ones that decide what gets done around here, and they've taken the rest of the legislative year off because their legislative calendar, Brian, is empty. Yeah. And there's not going to be any work done on this, and they're going to point fingers rather than come up with solutions.
But that's what you do on Memorial Day. Rather than honor the fallen, you use their death to go and point fingers at Tony Evers? Shame on you, Brian Style. I suggest everybody gives him a call and says, shame on you for using Memorial Day to go and try and smear Tony Evers. Great job, son.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Brian and I will be right back.
I'm playing Gangnam Style because it's the only one that rhymes with style.
Open Gangnam Style.
It's dedicated to all the pretty girls. All the pretty girls in the world.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Yeah,
Brian. I think you're going to have to explain a little bit more about why this is the intro song.
Oh, baby, I got your money. Yeah, see, the GOP, you know, they haven't endorsed anyone, right?
They have not. They have not.
The gubernatorial race, their primary.
Well, not only the gubernatorial race, also in the lieutenant governor's race and in the attorney general's race. The only endorsement that the party gave at their convention 2 weekends ago was for U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, incumbent.
They're not just lukewarm. They're stagnant, stale, lukewarm, like just kind of a little bit of, you know, bacteria growing on it type of water.
Oh,
like, my
gross.
Goodness, they can't even
gross.
Make it. They can't even make a specific decision unless it's along their own rhetoric, even in regards to who they're going to endorse.
Nope, they cannot.
What a bunch of weak people they are.
So let's share the headline with the people so everybody can understand where we're coming from, Brian. We got the headline over at the Wisconsin State Journal with no GOP endorsement. Private funds could play a bigger role in gubernatorial primary.
Isn't that the way they want anyway?
Well, private funds and money is speech. And you
just
know,
remember that no matter what you guys vote, it's really up to the Uhlines and the Hendricks as to what happens.
Well, yeah, they're going to be the ones.
At least if you're going with the GOP.
Yeah. Yeah. So reading from the piece by Mitchell Schmidt over at the State Journal, Brian, the state Republican the state Republican Party's decision not to endorse candidates in several statewide elections this year, a break from long-standing practice. Would you say Republicans in disarray? It's a little editorialization.
I just think they've thrown away all longstanding practices and have replaced them with no practices.
Just get rid of all of the norms. But that could give an outsized role to wealthy donors and outside groups looking to spend big on Wisconsin elections this fall. Delegates attending the state GOP convention in Middleton last weekend declined to endorse a candidate in the state's gubernatorial race, where the packed field of GOP hopefuls are vying to unseat Democratic Governor Tony Evers this fall.
I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe we should, you know, instead of lobbying Congress or lobbying like politicians, maybe we should lobby the Ulines and lobby the, you know, Diane Hendricks and just say, hey, this is what we want, and lobby them. Rather, like the people who actually make the decisions rather than the representatives.
That's exactly what the candidates are doing. That's exactly what the candidates are
doing. I know, but that's what we should do. That's what lobbyists should do. Like, we should do. Like, rather than, that's all I'm saying. I think we should cut out the middle person, the one that we don't really vote for, and then the one that, you know, instead the one that is going to control the message of whoever wins anyway.
Right. Well, I got a quote here from our friend Batman, Matt Rothschild, over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. With no endorsement, it makes the outside money even more important, said Rothschild. The super PACs and the dark money groups will have an outsized impact this time around as a result of this non-endorsement.
That's what everybody wanted. Just what everybody wanted. Awesome. This is amazing. I can't wait to see how that affects the race with Brian Stile, too. That's going to be so good. He's now got a 1% margin. I can't believe he's still using that partisan crap. Let's go to the phones.
Yeah, let's see what people have to say.
Let's go with Phil in Golden Valley. And how you doing, man? What's going on, Phil?
I'm doing fine. I was thinking about my uncle quite a bit this weekend because he's the only veteran in my immediate family. He was a medic in Vietnam, and when he came back, he had the result of Agent Orange exposure significantly affecting his health. It has taken him years and years of filling out forms and going to appointments that didn't lead anywhere, to finally, in the last several years, he has been getting treatment that has helped him continue his life. But, I mean, the amount of paperwork that the government agencies require veterans to fill out to get the health care that they require from as a direct result of their service for the to keep us all free is absolutely unbelievable.
Oh yeah, and it's even worse. They actively fought against people trying to claim, you know, health issues with Agent Orange. It's disgraceful.
Oh, and they're repeating it now with the burn pits.
Of course,
because you know, there should be. I think there should be an amendment to any defense appropriation bill that would require at least a 50% financing for every $1 billion they say they want to raise to buy new weaponry or new so-called defense systems and pay for the people to operate them and pay for the people who actually go and do the war. They should have to put at least a $500 million into a medical and psychological counseling account, because the number of people who come back who are physically and emotionally and psychologically damaged from having to fight that war has always exceeded anybody's grossest expectations.
100%. 100%. And on top of that,
you're... a billion?
Yeah, and they...
That might cover it.
If you're forced to deal with the ramifications of a war before you go into it, perhaps you might even fight that war in a different way, huh? Perhaps you might not even, I don't know, continue it on for 20 years past the time that you really should have in the first place. Phil, thank you for your call. You're absolutely spot on. And if your uncle's still around, you know, tell him we had all the best and all that stuff. And I would like to punch a senator for their on your uncle's behalf, because my goodness. kind of all I can do. I don't want to give thoughts and prayers, because that ain't anything. But what you can do is pressure your representatives to go and support veterans with bills like this.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the important thing is Memorial Day shouldn't just be about mattress and car sales and grilling out a burger outside.
Don't forget to put your flag up. If you don't put your flag up, the veterans don't know.
But it should be, you should be talking about policies and proposals to actually take care of and remember the service members that either paid the ultimate sacrifice or are back and need our care now. The veterans that are here and served in, like you said, Afghanistan, 20-year war. if we actually accounted for the fact of the harm that would be put on them for their service overseas, and making sure that we took care of them and had adequate
but Luke,
funding behind those proposals, it's vital.
You know what? That is just way too much fiscal responsibility for the party that claims to be the party of fiscal responsibility.
I guess they'll just keep wrapping themselves up in the flag and saying that they are the party of patriotism while still voting against things like the act you described earlier, Brian.
The PACT Act.
The PACT Act. Thank you.
Way to go, Brian Style, for voting no on that.
Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That's Brian. We'll be getting to more of your phone calls right after this break.
Welcome back, everybody. Luke, have you seen the Nine Inch Nails polos?
No.
There's a white collared polo with a Nine Inch Nails logo on it in black, which I think is really just absolutely wonderful. Just the idea. Just
the preppy Nine Inch Nails fans.
Yes.
You got to be able to help them with their wardrobes.
But then I'm like, the dude won an Oscar, so all right.
There you go. That'll Folks, work. You are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there is Brian.
True.
We tend to go off on a little tangent every now and then.
Sometimes even before we do anything.
Break.
Yeah.
It just happens that way. You can give us a phone call. Send us on a tangent. 844-967-2789. We're going to be getting to your phone. You want to go? Let's head to the callers right now.
Yeah, let's stay on this subject. We're talking about veterans still. I started off just to sum up anybody who's tuning in right now. We were talking about Brian Style and how he sent me a Memorial Day message talking about the care at Union Grove veterans, which, okay, if they're not doing well, let's find a solution and fix it. He used that to go and smear Tony Evers instead of actually proposing any solutions to help. He also wrote a statement about it. So good for that. But when it actually came time to help veterans receive care that they actually need post-service, he voted no on the PACT Act. That's the one with where, you know, people who were exposed to burn pits, which is a lot of them, you know, can't breathe.
A lot of service members. Yeah. Well, not even just can't breathe.
Some have died. Lots of them have died.
But there's a number of cancers that come out of it and other disorders. COPD.
Cancer that would have been treatable had they been able to receive the care they needed in time.
Yeah, had preventive screenings, everything like that. Yes. The government knew what results were.
Right. Which actually costs less than the amount of appointments a lot of them have to make. But anyway, that's what we're talking about, catching up. Yeah. So but before I go off on my own tangent again, let's go to Jeff and Monona. How you doing, Jeff?
Hi, Brian. I wanted to follow up with your previous caller about Agent Orange.
Yes.
A couple years ago, my dad had prostate cancer from being in the military, also hearing loss, and I read somewhere reputable, I can't name the source right now, but that can travel down generations. I just want to point that out, that it's not just the soldiers that served, it's their children that also suffer from the effects of being in war.
Yeah. 100%. There's psychological damage just from going through basic training. Literally, basic training is psychological damage. The whole point of it is to break you down psychologically and then rebuild you back up and to be part of our fighting war machine. But literally, the way they do it, the method, is by breaking you mentally. I don't know anybody, my father included, my grandfather included, who hasn't experienced some sort of mental illness issue from being part of the military. And I'm not saying that, you know, good, bad, or otherwise, aside from that, it's a thing, it's real, and it happens. And not to mention the being able to, like you said, being able to pass down things that may be genetically altered. Agent Orange is a powerful substance. You know, and who said, let's just pretend for the sake of argument that, oh my goodness, and thank you very much for your call, Jeff, that, you know, maybe that was just plain old prostate cancer. And what would be the worst thing that ever happened? Oh my goodness, we took care of a vet who had prostate cancer. and we paid for it. Wow. What an awful thing to have happened, right? Like, how are we arguing against this?
I don't know. It's unconscionable to me for some of our elected representatives to vote against proposals like that.
And all of them voted for sending them into the situation that caused it.
Yeah. Going back to the phone lines, we got our friend Mark from the SAC calling in now. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Luke, you just said the word that that came to my mind, unconscionable. It's unconscionable that we don't take care of our veterans in the first place. Every night we see all the commercials are for paralyzed veterans and the Wounded Warrior Project, and there's probably a plethora of others of good organizations that are providing with the support for veterans that our government should be providing them. These men and women and their families, because of perhaps the genetic effects that trickle down, that these things should just be paid for by our government. I mean, it would be a small price to pay in terms of what our military budget is, expenditures are, to take care of our veterans. I mean, that 100% of their costs should be covered. None of the stuff that we have to that rely on the charity of good-minded people that to take care of them. These things should just be taken care of. 100% of the cost of them, the support that their families need should be included in that as well. It is unconscionable that Brian Stiles, who I believe was a service person, I mean, that's what he ran on, isn't it, that he served? That maybe I'm confusing him with somebody
else. No, he ran on being Paul Ryan's cardboard cutout. I don't know if he served or not, but I think most of it was...
It's just unconscionable. Like was said, we should be taking care of our veterans, period. No ifs, ands, or buts, and no making them fill out all this paperwork. If you serve, when you check out of the military, you are taken care of. You do not need to fill out all this plethora of paperwork. Not to hell with that. Take care of our veterans, period.
And if it's too costly, then maybe we shouldn't have so much, military involvement everywhere. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe that's crazy. Why do we have the most state-of-the-art weapons of war, but yet our veterans' hospitals are from 1970? How's that even work out?
Well,
how do we not have state-of-the-art, like, cutting-edge technology for our veterans?
When one of the two major political parties in the system believe that government can't work and then finds every excuse in the books to cut government services, included in those services that get cut when they are searching for ways to be able to cut taxes are services for our veterans, Brian. It's par for the course for the political philosophy of the GOP. It is what it is, because the fact is, if you're going to try to say that government doesn't work and government can never work, when you apply that theory across all aspects of government, it includes cutting things like veteran services.
Yeah. I have a perfect analogy for that entire philosophy of hating government and thinking that government can't work for you. Today I was walking the dog, and on the way home, the garbage person was coming by collecting garbage, you know, with a telescoping arm and things like that.
Yeah, probably had a number of pickups because, you know, with the holiday yesterday, they were probably doing a longer route than normal to make up for the missed day.
Yeah, for sure. And they were there early and awesome. I had my garbage out. I got it collected. It was funny, though. My neighbor has a rusted out crappy car. Okay, it's got rust on the bottom of it, and it's crappy. I don't know what make and model it is. I'm guessing an old
little junker.
Doesn't matter. So this car, rusted as it is, has an anti-socialism sticker on the back, which is a really that car in and of itself is just a total, you know, poster for capitalism in the first place. But so it's got an anti-socialism sticker. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to make it clear that I do like this neighbor. They are actually good people. They're good folks. They say hi. We talk. We know their kid. They're good people.
Yeah.
But they have an anti-socialism sticker on their crappy rusted car out front. That's a fact. Well, they also kind of put their garbage right near the front of that car. So the at the end of the driveway. So the socialist garbage person couldn't get around the anti-socialist car that was representing free capitalism. But the best part was, it was only minorly inconvenienced because the socialist garbage collector,
yeah.
Had a telescoping arm that could reach around and totally fix the whole situation. So
there you go.
Even though they hate socialism, socialism took care of them and took care of their garbage.
Picked
anyway,
up the garbage,
despite their efforts to stop them and block it in the first place. Yeah. So, you know, socialism is alive and well, at least. I don't know. It is possible that government can work for you because it does literally every day. How's that water you're drinking? Is that good? Is it delicious? Yeah. Is it? Yeah. Oak Creek water, huh? That's weird. How's that maintained?
Huh. Brian, that's why you ask the deeper questions here on Dueling Tangents with Luke
there.
And Brian.
Well, I don't know.
Those are the important questions to ask. Folks, you can give us a call. Ask us a question. 844-967-2789. You can also share your tangents. You can be like our friend Jeannie up in Eau Claire. Jeannie, how are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, I don't know. The smoke's coming out of my ears. You know, pretty soon I'm going to have my ears blown out from all the smoke coming through lately with all the stuff those... I'm sorry to call them that, but God darn, those fascist, neo-fascist Republicans are doing and getting away with it. It drives me nuts. But thank you so much for giving this platform, you know, and time to the vets, because this has been happening for years. And those poor veterans, we trust them when they're out there risking their lives and limbs. But when they come back, they have health issues. Oh, no, you didn't get it here. You have to prove you got this injury. You have to prove you went through this. Oh, you have to prove you were in this place. That is nuts.
I wonder what the form is to fill out before you have to go and stand up at like the seventh inning and get people to go and, oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the fourth inning they do that when they kind of cheer for somebody or hooray for you.
Yeah, I know. It's you know, those, I'm sorry, but. You know, I've never disliked Republicans like I do now, because I was an independent. No way would I ever vote for one, because they lie, they cheat, they steal, and they hurt people, and they turn their nose when kids are getting murdered. What in the devil is in anybody's heads that would vote for some illness like this? They're a bunch of parasites, and I'm not talking about the good Republicans. Most of them already left their party. There were good Republicans, but these are like parasites, and they've latched on, and they're just sick, a sick bunch. And boy, we got to get them out of there so we can get rid of this disease in our country. So, sorry about that, guys.
No,
the steam's coming out of my ears.
You got to let it out sometimes, Jeannie, and if you can do that here safely, I'd rather do that than anything.
Yeah, we always appreciate
worse.
It.
Not that I would think that you'd ever do anything worse. You're a fantastic lady.
Right, and Jeannie also gave us an excellent jumping-off point to our next story, Brian, because, you know, speaking of parasites that, you know, just don't seem to go away, we have one of those here in Wisconsin named Michael Gableman.
Great.
The special counsel's office that you... Brian, tomorrow... I don't know if it's tomorrow exactly, but June 2022 marks the one-year anniversary for Gableman's
really
investigation.
Good. What has he turned up?
Well, he created a website, and it gives us this excellent headline over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, because, Brian, we almost considered, I considered almost doing a show on Friday. I thought about it, you know, being like,
I thought about that too.
There's a lot of stories out there. We should get on air and talk about them, but we had other plans, and it was a long holiday weekend, so we didn't get to share this before the holiday weekend, Brian, but I get to share it with the people now. Headline over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Michael Gableman asked for tips to help him find voter fraud. The public responded by trolling him.
Very good. Strong support for his investigation.
I love it.
I guarantee you, if you ask Republicans right now about his investigation, most of them won't even know that it was happening.
Yeah, they would say, what investigation? Because if they're not necessarily glued to the headlines, they're not going to be knowing about it, because Brian, he's not doing a whole lot. He's in a lot of legal battles, and he makes a splash in political news here in Wisconsin. But outside of that, it's not like there's anything there. It's a whole lot of nothing, because he set up the website, wifraud.com, last year sometime, back in like the fall of last year. He set up this website.
Oh, it took him a couple months to get that set up. Good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, remember, they didn't have like office space and office furniture like October when the...
Meanwhile, $11,000 a month going right to him. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
But he set up this website for people to send tips for him to be able to go and investigate voter fraud, Brian. And so you'd think with a widespread case that they claim is out there, widespread claims of voter fraud, that this hotline, this tip website would just be overrun, like so much traffic there that it might even crash the server or something. Well, they got about 84.
Oh, in the past 6 months, 84?
84 tips. And Brian, 60% of those tips were people expressing outrage with Gableman for the work that he was doing or just flat out trolling him. So that's what the tip line set
up maybe
Gableman.
20 to 30. But, wow.
And most of them were ramblings or vague, like no actual evidence, just saying, I hear people are saying, and submitted it to the website.
Wow.
So that's what's going on with our parasite, Michael Gableman, who just won't seem to go away. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your calls. 844-967-2789.
You think he's gone? He's not gone. That's the whole point. He's never gone.
Shame on you.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. That over there. If you look over there, you still Brian.
Hi.
Walking down the fort in the Waukesha studios for the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. If you're listening to me here in Madison, I'm holding down the fort in the Solidarity Realty studios on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. Brian.
Yeah.
I want to stick around a little bit on this Gableman piece.
Okay.
There's some interesting quotes here that I want to get out to the folks before we give a little horse race update and what's going on in the Democratic primaries here in the state of Wisconsin for U.S. Senate. But Brian, some of these quotes are too good not to share. So we got to do it. There is a very disturbed man ranting like a lunatic and telling provable lies about the election in order to undermine election integrity. One person wrote in April. Not only that, he's stolen hundreds of thousands of dollars from taxpayers by pretending to do a legitimate investigation. This is fraud at the highest levels, and he literally advocated nullifying the votes of Wisconsin. Please stop this flagrant fraud ASAP.
Wow.
That was one of the tips sent to wifraud.com.
That sure sounds like Michael Gableman himself.
Yep, the submission was similar to dozens of others filed over the last year that taunt Assembly Speaker Robin Voss of Rochester and former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman for budgeting $676,000 for a review of a presidential election that recounts court decisions and independent studies have concluded was properly called for Joe Biden.
Now, I got the ear of a staunchly Republican voter.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot, and I happen to get her ear, and she, I'm like, what do you think about this whole Gableman investigation? And like most Republican voters, when you bring that up, they go, what Gableman investigation? Oh yeah, you know, whatever, you know, barely even knows that it's there, let alone what it is. And I went through, I'm like, I got her ear, and I went through the whole thing, and you could tell by the end, she was like, this is absolutely awful. And then she kind of glazed over and changed the subject.
Yeah, because it's better to pretend like it's not if you're unaware, you're blissfully unaware, Brian. And then if you do find out the details of this, but you are a conservative voter in the state of Wisconsin, you've got to do whatever you can in your mind to justify that, oh, well, that's just maybe something on the fringe. Because that's how a lot of these views were treated for a really long time. They were treated as fringe views. And most conservative voters, most people that go to the polls and vote for Republican candidates in the state of Wisconsin, I do not believe would support this investigation if they knew all the facts about it.
Even if you think the election was actually stolen or taken away from you, this investigation is a slap in your face because it doesn't even take that seriously.
No, it doesn't, because this investigation takes those fringe views and is bringing them in the middle and trying to find a way to justifiably do something to change the Wisconsin elections setup, to justify taking away the votes of Wisconsin in 2020, because a majority of Wisconsinites, more than 20,000, voted. Joe Biden won the state by more than 20,000 votes in 2020, Brian. And these conservative, quote-unquote conservatives that want to investigate the 2020 election and find out the widespread fraud and nullify the election are looking to toss Wisconsinites' votes in 2020 or do something to dramatically overhaul the system so that they have a better way to win in 2022 and beyond. Yep. That's what they want. That's what this investigation's purpose is now.
It's worth noting that the person I talked to about this that glazed over when I was talking about it, also a former state employee living on a very, very wonderful pension that she rails against the other people for having pensions and also rails against all state employees for being lazy. But she herself was a state employee.
I want to get one more quote here from this Patrick Marley piece over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Brian. Few submissions contain concrete tips about the way the election was run. Some were vague. Others were unhinged. I have evidence proving that Russian Kremlin gate have conspired with the U.S. Democratic Party and Hillary to make false accusations against the U.S. President Trump since 2016, wrote one tipster who claimed to be based in Malaysia.
Yeah, that's good. I you know what? I was always wondering, you know, I know that you can take the WoW counties and everything, but really you got to consider the Malaysian vote when you get into... the really nitty gritty of the Wisconsin politics. Right?
When you're not finding out, or when you're trying to find out how elections are run, and you're not very well aware, Brian, you just cast a wide net, and sometimes that net gets submissions from Malaysia.
Well, they could be using a VPN server, but oh wait, no, if they're Republican, they don't know what the hell VPN is. All right, let's talk to Wisco Paul. How you doing, buddy? What's going on, Wisco?
How's it going, Wisco?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Thanks, Jeannie. She's so cool.
She's
hey,
awesome.
Right-wing radios did a tap dance on democracy in this state. But don't forget, Brian, it's really basic. It comes down to two cities, where I live, the Madison area, and where you live, the Milwaukee area. Maybe a little bit of Green Bay, but that's the cities they got to really focus in. Why is that? Why would they do that? I guess we're bad, Brian. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, being the economic engine of the entire state, that would be a reason why you would attack that being making them work less. Also, Madison, Dane County happens to be the only county that seems to be growing in the state of Wisconsin, doing better than the rest of the state or something like that. It could be. Could it be there? It couldn't be their liberal policies, could it?
Yeah, I don't know what the GOP would do without the cities of Madison and Milwaukee, because they treat our two cities, the two biggest cities in the state, as like this boogeyman punching bag, despite the fact that they are the economic centers of the state. And it's just fascinating.
They love
we
using
appreciate your call, Wisco.
Sure, they love the Wall Street part of New York City, but you take all the people or the Broadway or any sort of, you know, minorities, screw New York City. They're evil and crime-ridden, overrun, except for Wall Street, right? Because that's perfect and joyous, and nothing bad ever happens there. None of the stuff that they do, that's all on paper and computers, you know? That doesn't have any repercussions on the real world. Meanwhile, the exact, you know, repercussions of all of their crap are laying around, I don't know, literally outside their front door with a guy with a sign in front saying, please give me money, capitalism sucks.
Yeah.
But again, why wouldn't you? I hear talk of secession at some point or a civil war or whatever. Go ahead, red states, secede. Just like I'll call your bluff. I'll call your bluff just like I call the bluff of all the rich baseball owners who seem to need state dollars to go and make their stadiums. But, you must be poor then. You should sell your team if you're poor. Oh, I'll never sell my team. Oh, okay.
Okay. Brian's coming out swinging from the long holiday weekends. Well, I guess we're going to have to cover the horse race and the U.S. Senate primary here tomorrow, Brian.
Yeah.
Along with a number of other headlines. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you miss any portion of the show, go check out the podcast, devilradio927.com. Click on the Dueling Tangents tab under podcasts. And Brian, we'll be here tomorrow at 2 p.m. to talk about those headlines and take all of our callers.
Bring insanity here, man. We're going to bring some sort of sanity. At least we'll try and entertain you.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll try. Folks, we'll be back tomorrow.